Dr. Milton Mills serves as Associate Director of Preventive Medicine for the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, a North American group of doctors and laypersons dedicated to promoting improved health care, better and more appropriate nutrition, and higher standards in medical research. Mid-Hudson Vegetarian Society and Hudson Valley Vegans will present Dr. Milton Mills in a talk at Rhinebeck Town Hall in Rhinebeck, New York, this Saturday at 2 p.m. The presentation is entitled, What's Wrong with the Paleo Diet? And we welcome Dr. Milton Mills to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate it.
I'm glad to be here with you. Is it possible that you could turn up the volume on your end for me?
I think we can do that, and we have done that. So if it's not better, let me know. But
okay.
Let me start by asking you the question as to you have spoken to the society many times before, correct?
Yes, sir.
So coming back, what is it that you wanted to tell them of what's wrong with the paleo diet? What got you thinking about this particular subject?
Well, the paleo diet hypothesis is really not based on any sound science. It's sort of a kind of an extrapolation backwards from looking at what people either eat or like to eat and trying to come up with a rationale for how we got to where we are. But it doesn't take into account the effects of the paleo diet, which have been shown through a few studies that have been done, to actually be very unhealthy for humans. As I said, it's based on a number of faulty assumptions. And number one, it assumes that early humans were primarily hunters, which is not true simply because no Stone Age society has ever been able to obtain the majority of its calories from hunting and or animal foods, with the exception of humans living in the in Arctic environments. But that's kind of a special case because, you know, if you live in a freezer where you can hunt, you know, animals that weigh a couple tons, then that sort of changes the dynamic. But of course, humans did not develop in the Arctic, so that clearly can't be how we sort of evolved as a species or came to be who we are. It also assumes that human beings scavenge extensively, but we clearly don't have the physiology of scavengers because when we eat rotting tissue, we get very ill, and in the absence of modern medical care, that would usually mean a death sentence. There are assumptions that animal foods are somehow more concentrated energy sources than plant foods, and or that they are more nutritious. And again, both of those assumptions are wrong because it turns out that lean animal tissue, is what you get when you hunt free-living animals, has functionally the same energy concentration as high-energy plant foods. But the plant foods are actually much more nutritious because of their fiber content, their vitamin and nutrient content, and so forth. So, as I said, these hypotheses are riddled with faulty assumptions that lead people to conclude that they should be eating a meat-based or animal food-based diet, but we know that the studies and the actual health consequences show that this is a very unhealthy way to eat and live.
And are there certain aspects of it? I mean, is it just the meat part of it that you are concerned about, or are there, because obviously it's fruits, nuts, grains are also a part of that diet.
Well, actually, typical paleo hypothesis says that, you know, you should not eat cereals or grains, that you should not include legumes, which are, you know, beans, peas, lentils, the seeds of a number of different plants.
Okay.
Of course, there's no dairy. that part I do agree with and salute them on, because the phenomenon of eating foods derived from the mammary secretions of other animals is actually a fairly recent development in human history. It's only about 3,000 years old. And they do argue that you should not eat processed foods, which again is something that I would support. However, a lot of paleo approaches argue that carbs are bad, which is not true. There are certain types of carbohydrates that are not good for us, and those are the processed carbohydrates that humans make. But if you actually eat plant foods in their natural state, they come with generous amounts of both soluble and insoluble fiber, which many studies are now showing is absolutely critical and essential for normal human health, because it not only affects our risk for developing chronic disease, but it also impacts the way our immune system works. It reduces inflammation, and it also affects mood. We're now finding out that the interaction between fiber in the colonic microbiome actually can influence such issues as anxiety and ADHD and depression and so forth. So clearly, fiber is an essential part of our diet, and the fact that we in Western societies are oftentimes limited in the amount and types of fiber that we consume, we're now realizing that this contributes to a number of disease states. It increases inflammation in the body and has serious long-term health consequences.
Since you are speaking to a group called the Hudson Valley Vegans and the Mid-Hudson Vegetarian Society, you are, I assume, somewhat preaching to the choir.
Well, I mean, yes, to an extent. The lecture is actually sponsored by the Mid-Hudson Vegetarian Society, but it's open to the public, and the goal is to draw in as many interested attendees as we can. So the goal is not to preach to the choir, but to actually reach out to the community to share important health knowledge. And with respect to the members themselves, I mean, you know, learning is a lifetime process, and I think we all can always learn new things and get a greater and more robust understanding of even issues that we are already embracing and believe in. So you know, it is a little bit of speaking to the choir, but really the goal is to reach out to the community, draw in as many people as possible so that we can pass on this important health knowledge.
When it comes to science and it comes to especially diet, there are so many different thoughts. There's so many different ideas that are out there. Doctors supported that come out and say, this is the science that we have that supports that, you know, you should have a certain amount of fat in your diet, that you should have a certain amount of meat in your diet, that you should have. And your plan of omitting those things from your diet. And I'm just interested of how people, no matter what the rationale or the thought process is behind the groups promoting these diets, of how you feel that the average citizen, the average consumer, if you will, should come up with their diet plan. Should that always be a discussion that they have with their doctor?
Well, that's a very interesting question, because the sad and unfortunate fact is that many doctors are not very well educated about issues of nutrition. And just, you know, for some background information for your listeners, I'm a graduate of Stanford University School of Medicine. So, you know, I went to literally one of the top medical schools in the world, not just this country, and had a, you know, top-notch medical education. But even at a place like Stanford, focusing on the relationship between, you know, diet, nutrition, and chronic disease was not an integral part of the medical school curriculum. And as I was told by an interviewer when I was actually interviewing for medical school in Boston, when I explained that I was interested in this, you know, diet-health interaction, his response was, well, you know, in Western medicine, we operate from the disease model, meaning that we are in the business of treating sick people. We are not in the business of trying to keep people from becoming sick. And that's very true. And that is really how medical school curriculum is organized. It's organized around recognizing diseases, disease states, and attempting to intervene with drugs and or surgery or various therapies. There is, you know, vanishingly little information on actually looking at prevention or looking at the interaction, as I said, between diet and the development of these chronic diseases.
Mid-Hudson. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so oftentimes, you know, I mean, we all think, well, let me go to my doctor and ask these questions, but your doctor may not have the answers and may not, you know, the diet advice most patients get from their doctors is you should eat a healthy diet. Well, what does that mean? I mean, in practical terms, what does that actually break down to? And unfortunately, not only don't most physicians have enough information to sort of expound and expand on that sort of rudimentary advice, but the fact is that they don't have the time to do it, simply because with the way medical care is reimbursed in this country, doctors are not paid to sit down and talk to their patients extensively about changing their diet and so forth. So that leaves most of us as consumers to look to the marketplace for our information on, you know, what we should be eating. And I given that, I think, again, we as consumers have to be very careful what and who we listen to, because as
Dr. Mills, I'm sorry, we're out of time, and I unfortunately have to get to our next segment, but I want to let people know that they can find out more information about what you're doing. It's the Mid-Hudson Vegetarian Society and Hudson Valley Vegans presenting Dr. Milton Mills in a talk at Rhinebeck Town Hall in Rhinebeck, New York. It's this Saturday at 2 o'clock. The presentation is entitled, What's Wrong with the Paleo Diet? You can find out more information by going to our website, wamc.org/roundtable. Dr. Mills, I'm sorry we didn't have more time, but I thank you very much for sharing with us this morning.
I understand, and I appreciate your having me on, and I thank you very much for the time that we did have this morning.
Very good. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.